Today's scripture reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. All right, so just know that I'm smelling all the same smells you're smelling. I'm having all the same thoughts you're having. It smells wonderful. So she's our pianist, and Heidi, were you playing? Clarinet. Do you play many other instruments?
Okay. Since I was a little bitty sixth grader.
Okay.
Yes. Piano, gotcha. Because my mom made me take piano lessons.
Yeah, well, God bless moms. God bless moms. And yes. And there are some other instruments that you play just for fun.
Because I'm a band director.
Because you're a band director. And band directors learn to do these things.
We have to learn to do all of the things.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. Thank you for all of you sharing again. We really enjoyed it. It's very nice. So here we are. We're suddenly at the end of May. We had great Mother's Day last weekend. We celebrated moms. Now we're recognizing seniors, and they are graduating, starting a new season of life. So we're excited for them. Next week's Memorial Day weekend, the official beginning of summer. It all begins. We are about to see more RVs and boats roll through our town than cars. And so you would think that we're like on a lake. But we're not. But, I mean, we ought to be for all the traffic that comes through here, the boats and the RVs. Summer's a great time for recreation and renewal, and that's what I'm getting ready to do, is recreation and renewal. I'm getting ready to take a little more significant time for renewal than I have in a while. I'm leaving today for a solo adventure trip to Smoky Mountain National Park, and I'm going to do some fly fishing in the mountains, and gonna be hiking, and I hope to wrestle a bear, and I'm gonna catch it all on camera, and then maybe you can read about it in the news, in a not good way. So then I come back from that, and I'm here for a week and a half. Then I head off to annual conference, which is what Marcia was referring to. And then right after annual conference, I get back, and Kim, Alexis, and I, we take off for Italy for 10 days, going to Italy, which I'm very excited for. It's our first time to travel to another continent, to leave native soil. We aren't going with a travel group. We're going with the Rick Steve travel book. If you're familiar with it, I would, it's a great travel guide if you're not going to use a company. There's a number of things I'm nervous about, having never traveled overseas before. I'm a little uncomfortable with, and so I'm planning things as well as I can up front. I imagine there will be some things that happen that I didn't plan for, as will be the case. And so I could spend a lot of time worrying about all the things that could go wrong, or I can decide to just have a good time with my girls and just kind of roll with the punches, and you all can remind me that in about 3 or 4 weeks when we're there. Isn't this always the challenge? Isn't it always the challenge facing something new, facing something different, what our seniors are getting ready to find out with a brand new transition in their lives? There's always this opportunity when we do something new like that for fun and enjoyment, perhaps an opportunity to renew and to relax. You know, I hope we'll have some of that when we're in Italy, and definitely next week I'm on my trip to the Smokies. Or we can get super anxious about the unknown. We can worry a lot about all the things that we don't know that might happen. And for some reason in life, new feels like possible loss to us. I mean, which I guess it is. It is loss. Generally speaking, if you choose something new, then it's at the expense of something old. And that's what our seniors are getting ready to experience. Something new at the loss of something old. And so this is the point of the scripture lesson today. Now, the first thing you need to know is I do not preach from the book of Revelation much. So you need to enjoy this today, right? Like, really enjoy this. Sarah Johnson, she went downstairs. She came to me a while back ago. She's a Sunday school teacher and said, hey, I'm going to teach on Revelation. Can you give me some advice, some resources I prepare for that class? And I said to her, Sarah, my advice is don't do it. Don't do it. She did it anyways. She did a great job. And my wife is in that class and said it was very good. So Revelation's a hard book to understand because it's based on a vision that John had. It was based on the vision of one person. Many authors, fiction authors especially, love to create literal storylines out of what it meant. But it was meant to be very figurative. Some theologians speculate that it is about the power brokers of John's day, those power brokers being Rome, being the emperor. And so in the last several chapters, the imagery parallels the prophet Isaiah and the creation story in Genesis. And so the next to last chapter in Revelation is actually similar to the next to last chapter in Isaiah. And the phrase that ties them together, if you read the next to last of both chapters, of both books, it is this: then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth and the first heaven had passed away. And so John the visionary goes on to talk about how God will dwell in this new place. God will be present in this new place. The people in the new place will be his children. And God's children will no longer have the capacity for pain or loss. Other places in the New Testament say that after this life, in the next life, we receive these new bodies, and our new bodies, our new forms, are incapable of such things. And so John says those feelings will be the old order of things. But in the new order of things, negative emotions and feelings and hurt and sadness and suffering won't be experienced. Which sounds wonderful. That sounds great, this new way of living with God in these new and better bodies. I'm in for a new body, right? I'm in for that. I was curious about this word new, right? A new heaven and a new earth. And so I dug around my giant book that I have that tells me what every Greek word in the New Testament is, down to the exact verse that it's kind of located into. A pricey book that when I started seminary, I paid $125 for. And now it exists online in a resource that I use, along with four other like bookshelves of books that I used to use that now exist in a gig of memory in my computer. And the specific word for new is this. Like, if you look up new, it means this. In the sense that what is old has become obsolete and should be replaced by what is new, in such a case, the new is, as a rule, superior in kind to the old. A new heaven and a new earth. Once again, the challenge with Revelation is like, how figurative is this when John says this? How literal could this be? But John, in his vision, saw the old heaven and the old earth pass away because they had become obsolete. And God needed to replace them with something new, something superior. The process of the old passing away is a process that we are very aware of in our bodies, right? Now, our seniors don't feel it yet. Our seniors that are graduating, not our seniors that are over 65. In case I'm using the word senior, it might throw you. But we're very aware that this process, that our bodies are the same as the earth, and as the earth is decaying, so are our bodies decaying at a much faster rate. But thank God for new medical technology, right? Thank God for new medical technology. The old knee is passing away, but the new knee has come, right? The old knee was obsolete. It was not able to achieve the desired outcome that it was created for. So how many here are thankful that the new knee has come and that the old knee has gone? We got quite a few that can relate to my passage today. Did any of you ever get sentimental about the old knee? Did any of you think to yourself, but doctor, I love the old knee, right? The old knee and I, we've been through so much together. Probably very few of you have thought that. Do you know why you didn't think that? Because of pain. Yeah, because it hurt. The old knee hurt you. So you determined to let the old knee go so the new knee could come. No more pain. Just like the new heaven and the new earth. Same thing. I think the pain of aging is God's way of preparing us to let go of something old in order to help us embrace something new, the coming of something new and yet unknown to us, a place we have not yet been, a place we have none of us have traveled to except John in Revelation. And yet, my friends, here's what I want you to know. It ain't over till it's over, right? It ain't over till it's over, especially in lieu of new knees and new hips and great medical advancements. The old body may be passing away, but Medicare makes all things new, right? Makes it all new again. So more than any other time in history, the battle is always for the mind, and keeping the mind strong and flexible and nimble. Romans 12:2, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will. You see, even though the body begins to gear down for what's next as we age, in our minds we have a constant opportunity to be renewed. We can recreate and renew our thoughts each day. We can change our minds. We can think differently. We can shift. And so God invites us into this lifelong process of renewing our minds. And I believe the constant renewal of the mind actually helps invigorate the body, even as the body struggles. We have to invigorate here. And it's really our, I think it's our, now, and sometimes not, but most of the time, it is our decision to choose to do this or not to do this. It's our decision to do this or not. And I think about our seniors, and they're getting ready to go off and to have this opportunity to reinvent, to recreate, to renew, to think anew. And so we sometimes, though, as we get older, we make a decision that we've reached our limit. We've reached our capacity. We can no longer grow. We can no longer learn. We can no longer change. Now, psychology has a phrase for this stopping point. And the phrase is called a limiting belief. When you develop a limiting belief. And a limiting belief is a belief that you have about yourself or other people or life that limits your ability to change, to be renewed, to be recreated. And sometimes we share our limiting beliefs in the sayings that we use, right? We love our sayings that help us with things. And so if you've ever used the saying, the devil that you know is better than the devil that you don't, then you are advertising a limiting belief that you have. And I've used it before too. It's a saying that makes decisions for you when you can use that saying. And the saying, of course, means better to kind of utilize people and things and experiences that you know with their issues that you're aware of than to utilize someone or something new to do something new, right? With issues that you don't know about. Who knows what lies on the other side? Which may be true and may not be true. Like it may or may not be true. You may be able to utilize something better or someone better, but you'll never know because maybe you're too afraid to risk it. Because you live and die by that saying, you now let that saying make decisions for you instead of thinking about each decision you make anew. After all, maybe your dad taught you that phrase, or your grandpa taught you that phrase, your best friend taught you that phrase, which is really the hardest part of limiting beliefs that we begin to develop. Somebody taught them to us. And so the things that might have held them back in life can hold us back in life. Maybe they've held you back in some ways. Maybe their fears become your fears. You embrace those fears. Their heaviness becomes your heaviness in life. And sometimes limiting beliefs may keep you from succeeding about something in life because once again, you just decide not to do something new or something different. Maybe it's about your ability to make friends. You know, there's some kind of belief that your family had about an inability to do that. Or maybe a view that you had about different people, people that were different from you. Thinking negatively about those people, whether those people is about race or social class or whatever comes to mind for you right now. However you refuse to recreate and renew your mind to go through this process. You know what other word happens to contain the word recreate? It's got recreate in it. It is the word recreation. Recreation is super valuable in order to help us renew and recreate our minds in this process. And that's why I'm going next week. All I'm going to do is recreation. Recreation is necessary to keep the brain going in a good direction. Very helpful. And so we're in the process here. We're planning some recreation for our church this summer. Marcia's working with you know, just a few people here to put together some things for us to do this summer. We do a lot of work. We can do a lot of serious stuff in church. We can be serious a lot. Recreation helps us just to loosen up and enjoy one another, is what recreation does. Marcia always jokes. She always says, you know, Jim, I probably should have been a cruise line party planner. She's like, that's my jam. And so if Marcia is on the ship, she's the cruise line party planner. I'm the ship captain who's constantly looking out for icebergs, right? Gripping the wheel, looking out. After all, everybody knows that the Titanic was sank by icebergs. I don't want that fate to be my fate. Meanwhile, Marcia is running around the ship. She's got a sombrero. She's got a margarita in her hand. She's leading the conga line. I'm freaking out. My point is this, and she teaches me a lot. She teaches me a lot. Having fun and enjoying recreation as a church, it's important. It's good for all of us. It really is. It's necessary. Recreation helps us experience renewal together. And the truth is, we tend to get stuck. What if we do the next thing wrong? What if we hit the iceberg when we do the new thing? That's me. This fear is just built into me. This fear, the fear of failing. You know, the fear of failing is a limiting belief. When you don't do something because you're afraid you'll fail at it, you have accepted a limiting belief in your life, and it keeps you from trying something new, from risking. A couple weeks ago, our board, our church remodel team that we have, you know, we've been talking about this remodel and of the church, just some things and taking some small steps. We met with the architect for the first time a couple weeks ago, had our first conversation about renovating our church. Our architect, he's a Methodist pastor, but he's still licensed as an architect, used to be an architect, works almost exclusively with a handful of churches now. And our pastor architect impressed upon us that the plan to remodel our church will be helpful, but won't necessarily mean that just because we do some remodeling that everybody's going to come running in town. Like, oh, wow, what's going on there? remodeling this church, doing some things with the carpet and the walls and some signs, is one way that we need to continue to renew and recreate our church, our ministries, our worship. All of those things are encompassing. And so he wanted to know, how would we all work together to reach our community for Christ, to share faith, to open up the place where we worship. In many ways, I believe we're at a point where we need to recreate our church. We have to recreate here. Our church doesn't need a remodel. We need to recreate why we are here. What is our purpose for coming here? And how does it help newer people within our community? Think back to the scripture passage that was shared. John saw a new heaven and a new earth. He had this vision of the old passing away, the new has come. Think about the definition that I taught you. The old heaven and earth became obsolete and were no longer helpful. So a better, newer version will be created. Why wouldn't anyone want newer and better? Now, there's always new and novel. And novel isn't better, right? Novel's not better. It's attractive for a while. It's not better. New and better is better. You don't want the old knee because the old knee's causing you pain. So you're going to upgrade to the new knee. The new knee is better. And yet sometimes we fear new and better because we have a limiting belief that keeps us from the scary leap in life. Now, I can tell you a hard truth about our culture and community as well. Here's a hard truth about our neighbors, all the people around us, right? People are always looking for new and better. And sometimes they'll settle for new and novel. They will, but they won't stay there because what they deeply desire is new and better. And that's exactly what people are looking for in a church. They're looking for something new and better that will help them to recreate and renew their lives and their energy. And many people, if they don't experience that, if they don't experience new and better, they will leave and go somewhere else or leave and not come back. They don't want to experience church in a way that feels to them obsolete. They want to experience faith in a way that applies to their marriage or their singleness, whichever place they are, to their parenting or their grandparenting. They want faith-based relationships, somebody to kind of help them understand the Bible and how the Bible is going to direct them in their lives. They want to learn how to pray in a way where they know God is hearing them and they feel like God is listening to them. I know what I'm trying to say there. They want to be encouraged and strengthened and guided is their desire. And anything less than that occurring in their lives is obsolete. It's just obsolete. And so this is an all-church effort, recreating, renewing, helping faith be relevant and not obsolete. It's an effort of your senior pastor, having a senior pastor that's committed to your church and to your community. It's your associate pastor. It's your ministry staff. It's your leadership board. It's the church. It's all of us together, doing this together. And if there's a gap anywhere, then the body of Christ loses strength and power in what we're trying to achieve. And church, there's never a challenge that I give to the church collective that is separate from your personal faith life. The challenge to choose to recreate and renew may sound like a challenge for the sake of this church, First United Methodist Church, but it's really not just a church issue. It's a personal issue. It's about Christian people who hold fast, too fast, to limiting beliefs and refuse to be recreated and renewed by the Spirit and Word of God in a fresh new season of life and in the world. It's a pastor issue. It's a staff issue. It's a church people issue. I've watched our United Methodist denomination. We've tried to address this decline in churches, and I think we've missed it. Unfortunately, obviously. We tend to compare churches to other churches. That's never a win. That never helps. We may belittle church leaders, say things that, you know, we think are hard, but they need to hear, and that can be a big mistake. You know, that doesn't usually hit right. I think what happens in our church is actually a reflection in all churches of what's going on in people's faith lives within the church. Because we don't get before God and welcome the recreating and renewing work that He desires to do in us, something begins to happen in our churches, and we've all experienced it before, and I've experienced it, and we just get tired. We get tired of what we're doing. Tired of faith and church and life. And I get it. I've felt that way before. I think I feel a little bit that way right now. I think right now I feel a little bit tired. So I'm going to get away for a bit, right? I'm going to go experience some recreation, some fun. I'm going to spend lots of alone time with God in some beautiful places. Then I'm going to come back. I'm going to take my family to a new and scary place. But I know everything's going to be fine. My wife will keep telling me that. It's going to be amazing. After all, it's someplace completely new, someplace we've never been before. And then I'm going to come back. And I'm going to begin my third year in Lebanon, right? Having completed 2 years. My third year here at First United Methodist Church. And I believe the third year is going to be vastly different from the first 2 years. Because we are going to press harder into recreating and renewing our church. And what I would like you to do is to spend some time getting before God. Get before God. Have the courage to ask Him, Lord, is there a way that You desire me to be recreated, to be renewed that I've missed? Have the courage to ask Him that. And not just for our church, because it's not really just about First United Methodist Church. It's not about this building. It's about you. And it's about God. And it's about us being renewed and recreated by God for God's purposes. Refusing to become obsolete and irrelevant. God's courageous church, God's courageous people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You that we have an opportunity to experience recreation in our own lives and renewal in our own lives, to think anew, to think differently, to let You guide us in this endeavor. And so, Lord, I pray for fresh opportunities myself in the month to come, for that within me. And I pray it for my church here. I pray it for our seniors who are about to head into some new places. And we'll have the same opportunity in fresh new ways. Lord, we do give You thanks for our church and for our community and for our connection, our lives weaved together. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.